But let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. We've been in the book of Romans chapter number 8. We're going to continue on. We're going to start reading at verse number 5. If you will remember, before we start reading at verse number 5, I want to remind you of something that in Romans chapter 7, when Paul ended, if you remember the last part of Romans 7, he's talking about the good that I want to do, I can't do, and the evil that I shouldn't do, or the things I end up doing, oh wretched man that I am. And we talked about was Paul talking about himself before he came to know God, or was Paul talking about just his struggle with sin? And then what I said that I had decided on was that basically Paul wasn't talking about his whole man. He was just talking about one aspect of himself, and that was his flesh. Because he says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And so realizing that the Romans 7 ends heavily on the flesh. Now, see how this theme continues. Let's start reading at verse number 5. And it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then the last verse, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, this is your word. And Lord, we reverence and respect and esteem and exalt your word. And it's holy and it's right. And God, help us, Lord, to understand with our finite minds, Lord. Help us to understand your word tonight, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If we look at verse number 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. This isn't in my notes, but one of the things I want to just say is that the real battleground that I have found, the real battleground that Tim Wiggins has found over, has been right here between these 2 years. And he talks about people that are in the flesh setting their mind on the things of the flesh, and people that are in the Spirit setting their mind on the things of the Spirit. And this here says that a person, or let me just say that a person with his or her mind set on the things of the flesh are not going to accept the things from this God. It's like oil and water. You can't get oil to mix with water. It just doesn't mix. And the flesh and Spirit are exactly the same way. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, I feel illustrates this so good, is he says that the natural person or the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or they are foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because why? Why can't a person in the flesh understand spiritual things? Because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. And it's not that a person that's walking in the Spirit, that has got his mind set on the Spirit. It's not that he's more intelligent. It's not that he's got a higher IQ. It's just these things are spiritually discerned. And to people that are in the world, what we're doing right now, this is foolishness. This is, you're going to tell me you work all week long, all day long, and then come down and go to church? Why don't you stay at home and enjoy yourself? You know, to them, this is all foolishness. But to somebody that's got their mind set on the things of the Spirit, this all makes sense. This all makes sense. This is what we look forward to doing. And this is what we look forward to being. Another thing I want to say that's not in my notes is that, and I'm going to have to qualify myself here, because I'm always afraid I'm going to be misunderstood. There have been times that I just really feel that God has dealt with me about something. And I have felt very strongly to, and I think this has probably happened to just about everybody in here, that you feel very strongly impressed to go and talk to somebody. And then you talk to them and they just say, oh my goodness, I needed this so bad. I mean, raise your hand. Have you had that happen to you? Yes. Oh yeah. Here's the deal. And I believe in all of that. It's happened too many times for me to ignore it. Okay. I've had it happen the other way around, where somebody would come to me and just say, listen, you've been on my mind. You've been on my heart. That happens. It's real. It's real. But I want to say this, is that sometimes we get the impression that somebody that has these, you know, experiences are going to say, oh, wow, Sister Wiggins, wow, she's spiritual, because, you know, she felt this, and she felt to go talk to this person, and she felt to go talk to that person. She is spiritual, and she is spiritual. Believe it or not, here in Romans 8, if you look in Paul's mind, somebody that's spiritual is somebody, not somebody that has all of these experiences, but somebody that keeps themselves focused not on the flesh, that does not set their mind on the flesh. And if you ask Paul, Paul's going to say, listen, the person that's truly spiritual is somebody that does not have themselves focused and the desires thereof. Let's look at verse number 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. A person's disposition, or if I can say it this way, inner orientation, shows itself in his life's ultimate destination. A person who is focused on the flesh, their ultimate destination is just all there is to it. That's what they have to look forward to. When the gig is up, the good times are over. It's done. It's through. They have lived their life focusing on fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, and it was good while it lasted. And I can remember centuries ago, Thomas Edison had made all of this money from all of these inventions. And when he retired, him and his wife went out, and they just wanted to just travel. They wanted to do this. They wanted to buy this. They wanted to buy that. And they went out, and they blew their entire life savings in just a little while, just on expensive trips and going into expensive restaurants. And Thomas Edison said this. He goes, it's all gone now, but it sure was fun while it lasted. But it's all gone now. Well, a person that sets their sights on the things of the flesh, that's exactly what they're going to have to say is, man, it was good. It was a great time, but it's over now. And you know what? I think that somebody that does that really doesn't have an understanding of eternity. They just really don't understand. Folks, eternity is going to be a long, long. And somebody that just says, well, you know what? I want to live. I just want to have my fun right now. I don't want to wait for something way off in the future. You know what? Eternity is too long to think like that, folks. Eternity is just too long to think like that. So this says that the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So again, if your mind is set on the spirit, the ultimate destination is life and it's peace. Okay? Galatians chapter 6 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. In other words, if you sow to the flesh, or it says the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal. Eternal life. And you know what? I don't know about you, Lloyd, maybe this is something that you could answer for me. I don't want to ask you this question in front of everybody, but Lloyd, and I'm not trying to say that you're the oldest here tonight, because we all know that you know, with Kristen being here and all that. But anyway, I know, Kristen, you know I'm funny. But Lloyd, I can remember when I was in first grade, I wanted to be in second grade so bad. Lloyd, it took me that year from first grade to second grade was an eternity. When it was going to be, it took me an eternity to get up to where I could graduate from eighth grade. It was like the hands of time moved so slowly. But after we got married and started having kids, this thing started picking up steam. And years started clicking off faster and faster and faster and faster. To where now it's just... Lloyd, is it that way for you too? The older I get, yes, the older I get, Lloyd, the faster these days and weeks and months and years fly by. And that's why when it says here that the person that sows to his flesh is going to reap corruption, but the person that sows to the Spirit will reap life eternal. Growing older has shown me just how quickly life on this earth passes by. It happens. In fact, if you'll remember, and I'm getting way off my notes here. I need to kind of, you know, herd myself back in. But if you remember when we studied the book of James, does anybody remember what I talked about, what it says in the Greek, that it says, where James says that your life is but a vapor that ascends up for a time and then vanishes away? Does anybody remember what I talked about the Greek on that, what that really is saying in the Greek? Does anybody? If you don't, I won't be disappointed or anything.
Some of us are.
What's that?
Some of us don't remember very well.
Okay. We'll give you a pass, Sister Crowley. We'll give you a pass. Yes. And what if you that's exactly what it was, Sister Kristen, is that in the Greek, have you ever gone out on a cold morning and you exhale and your breath fogs? But how long does it stay there? By the time you go to take your next breath, it's already dissipated. It's already gone. And in the Greek, that's what that verse is saying, is that where it says your life is but a vapor that's here for a second and then gone, it's like going out on a cold morning and you exhale and here your breath fogs and then just a second it's gone. In comparison to eternity, that's what your life on earth is, okay? And so that's why if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life eternal. And man, that to me, it just puts it in perspective so much, so much better. Let's go to verse 9. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. I want to talk about the last part of that verse about not belonging to him. I want to talk about that in a moment, but before I do, I want to just say something interesting that it's interesting to me as a side note. If you'll notice, it says in this verse, it says up here, it says Spirit of God, and then down here it says Spirit of Christ. Okay? And this may not seem like a major point, but Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, folks, it's synonymous. It's synonymous. And it's interesting to me that if you look at, for example, everybody, I'm going to read it out of the ESV, but then we'll quote it out of the KJV because it'll be much more familiar to you. 2 Peter 1 and 21 says this, says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but by men of God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And literally in the Greek, that's a word-by-word translation right there, because they were carried along as though they were being almost guided, almost pushed. And it says that the Scripture, the Old Testament Scripture, was written by men, holy men of God, as they were carried on along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that in the KJV, you'll recognize that. It says that it was written by holy men of God as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Okay, moved on by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Look at how Peter talks about this Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Look at how Peter talks about it in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1. We were reading out of 2 Peter. And so after looking at this, now let's look at this. It says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time, the spirit of what?" In 2 Peter, he called it the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Now, he's calling it the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. So, I'm just saying that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ is synonymous. And in fact, it's kind of interesting when you start looking at this. Look at Acts chapter 16. Verses 6 and 7. And I hadn't never noticed this until just the other night. It says, "They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by what to speak? The Holy Spirit to speak." So they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Verse 7. "And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit," the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit. So it's interesting that in verse 6, the Holy Spirit is not allowing them to speak. But in verse 7, it says the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to speak. So what I am saying, folks, is that if you want to call it Spirit of God, or if you want to call it Spirit of Christ, fine. Knock yourself out, whichever one you want to choose there. They're synonymous terms, okay? And now, I just want to throw that in there as a side note. That's really not what Paul's focusing on here in Romans 8. He's not talking about that. That's just something that I, you know, wanted to go off on a little rabbit trail. But it says here, let me read verse 9 again. It says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. 1 John 4 and 13 says it this way. 1 John 4, 13 says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us." How do we know that? Because he's given us his Holy Spirit. That's how we know. Paul, there was all of this, you know, controversy in the book of Acts about Jews. And then, you know, first it started off with the only people in the church were Jews. Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, it was a Jewish thing, man. All 120 in that upper room were nothing but Jews, and they preached to a bunch of people. A whole bunch of people got baptized that day, and they were 100% what? Jews. But then what happened in Acts chapter 8? Philip went to where? Samaria. People that are part Jew, part Gentile, kind of, if you will. And he preached to them. And all of a sudden, they got baptized. Peter went down there. You know, they ended up getting the Spirit, receiving the Spirit. And so it turned from a Jewish thing into a Jewish and a Samaritan thing. And then the house of Cornelius happened in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius was what? 100% of the Italian band, if you'll remember. That's the way it says that, calls it in the KJV, that he was a member of the Italian band. And so in other words, there was nothing Jewish about this dude. But he was a good, godly man that prayed every day, right? And then it says that while Peter yet spake the word unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And as many as came with many of the circumcision, as many as came with Peter, were astonished that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's Acts chapter. And remember, Peter said, can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized who have not received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And it says he commanded them all to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Many manuscripts say that he commanded them all to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, there was all this controversy in Acts that you had Jews saying, wait a second, we don't know how we feel about this. You've got Samaritans and Gentiles. Hey, man, we just want this to be a Jewish thing. And they had to have that big council and big talk and sit down and straighten this whole deal out. And that's when, you know, Paul testified, Peter testified, said, hey, listen, we have no control over who God, you know, gives his Spirit to. You know, who are we? You know, we have no control over this stuff. Well, Paul, when he was talking to the church of Corinth, and this has to do with this Romans chapter 8, in the church in Corinth in chapter 12, in verse 13, he says this. 1 Corinthians, I didn't get that in my notes, Bill. I'm sorry. Folks, I'm going to have to, yes, I added this to my notes after I emailed it. Okay, Bill, just his blood pressure went up there for a second. It was a test, Bill. It was just a test. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 said this, Paul says this, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink one spirit. So the Spirit is what puts us into one body. And Paul says having the Spirit is what's going to help you to focus your mind on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. And he says, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And let's go to verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, will anybody admit, I don't really know what you mean, Brother Wiggins, when it says the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I mean, does that sound a little, not complicated, but just something like, you know, let's get a little clarification here. You know, what's he saying? Well, I'm going to say that when it says the body is dead, I mean, Brian, is your body dead right now? Your color looks excellent. I mean, you must be alive. I mean, your color is excellent. When it says the body is dead, no, I think he said that, yes, but what Paul meant, I believe, is the body is still subject to death. Okay? It says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead. The body is still subject to death. God, when you, I don't believe in soul sleep, folks. We talked about that before on Wednesday night, and I don't believe in soul sleep. I believe that when a person passes from this life, I don't believe that they just go into a slumber and a sleep. I believe that they go to be with the Lord. Okay, and I could give you the verse as we went through it one night at length, and when we talked about the doctrine of soul sleep. I don't believe in the doctrine of soul sleep. And this verse, basically, right now, you are, your spirit, you are redeemed. You're ready to go. When you leave this life, wham, you go to be with the Lord. You're there. That's a done deal, okay? But your body, sorry, folks, no. Your body, your spirit has been redeemed, but your body, not so much. Not so much. And that's what I think he is saying here. And to me, it's interesting. I don't want to turn this into a discussion about the resurrection. But, you know, it says the body is dead. And you always wonder what, you know, what happens. Everybody always wonder what happens after you die. You know, what happens? What? And we could talk about that some night if you want. And I think I've got my hands around most of it, but not all of it. But one thing that Peter said that was kind of interesting, as far as just the transition from this life to the next. Here's what he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Peter said, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the, look at this, putting off of my body will be soon. Remember how, and then, or it says, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Remember how in the last part of John, Gospel of John, Jesus told him, said, Peter, there's coming a day that they're going to take you in a place that you don't want to go, and you're going to, and it says that he spoke of his death. And so Peter knew at that day that he was, you know, that he was going to die a martyr's death. And so Peter right here is talking about his own death. And this is what's so cool about that: if you pursue spiritual things, your future is life and peace. Death is such a riveting word. Every time you say it, I don't know, I think my blood pressure goes up. Death is such, there's so much finality in the word death. And the grave just seems like that old gospel song, the grave seems so final and cold. Peter described it this way: this is just the putting off of my body. He says, folks, I'm getting ready. It's not going to be long until I put off this body, and go open that next chapter. Wow. That's what's worth living for. That's what's worth pursuing and striving and saying, I want my mind to be on spiritual things and not carnal, fleshly things. I do not want my flesh to determine my path. I do not want my flesh to determine my decisions. I do not want my flesh to determine what I do and where I go and how I live. I want all of that stuff to be based on my walk with God. I want to focus my mind on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. Last, there's another part of that verse I'd really like to get into, but I'm not going to take time. Let me just go to verse 11 here real quick, and then we're going to be done tonight. Verse 11, and this is a very familiar verse that probably many of you can quote. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Or as the KJV says, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. And I just want to just say this, and I could spend 20 or 30 minutes on this, and we don't have that kind of time tonight. So I don't know that I'm going to do this verse justice, but I'm already in it, so I guess I've got to do it. Is there's two schools of thought on this verse. And there are learned men men that you would have great confidence in, that believe that this verse says, believe it's talking about a resurrection, the final resurrection. There are also equally learned men that you would have a lot of confidence that does not believe that Paul is talking about the resurrection. They believe that Paul is saying that where it says quicken your mortal bodies, it's just saying that the Spirit of God is just going to help you live for God in this body that you are in right now. And that if you got these two camps and you got to kind of decide which camp are you going to be in. Is he talking about the resurrection? Or is he talking about just that the Spirit of God is just going to help you out in this body that you're living? Okay. I'm going to just say the following. I don't get to use this word very often. Sister Wiggins, make a note. I get to use this word. Rhetorical. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Was the resurrection of Jesus Christ physical? Or was it just some spiritual symbolic? That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ never did truly resurrect from the dead. That it was symbolic. Symbolic. That his body, bodily, he never came back from death. The Jehovah's Witnesses are very strong on that. That Jesus Christ, there was no physical resurrection. But I ask you tonight, did Jesus Christ physically raise from the dead? So when the Apostle Paul says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if that was a physical event that really happened, then I am going to say that I very strongly believe that when it says that will also give life to your mortal bodies, if Jesus' resurrection was physical, then the last part of this verse is also physical. So I believe that Paul is making a direct assertion to the resurrection of the dead that is going to. And he says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the Spirit is going to be instrumental, an instrumental part of the resurrection. And I believe there will be a physical resurrection. And just a few verses. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14, very similar language. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. When it says God raised up the Lord, he was talking about the resurrection. And he says he's also going to raise us up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also. Okay. Last verse, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, again, a literal resurrection. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have what? Who've died. That was a fancy way back in those days in the Greek. That was a fancy way of saying, it was kind of a nice, soft, gentle way. Remember when Jesus told the disciples, oh, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And they say, oh, Lord, if he sleeps, he does well. Jesus, man, okay. Obviously, we need more teaching here, you know. But Paul talked about falling asleep as those that are in the Lord. And he says that if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, then you are also going to believe that those that who have fallen asleep will rise as well. And so I believe very strongly, and I don't think this is a hard point to sell. I think it's to sell. I believe very strongly that verse number 11 of Romans chapter 8 is speaking very strongly and very clearly about the resurrection from the dead. And I will just, in fact, let me give you some hope here. I'm going to shut my laptop lid here. I'll be honest with you. You don't hear the teaching and preaching about the resurrection as much these days. And you are, I have run into people, and yay, I've even run into people in Oneness Pentecostal circles that just say, well, you know, I just think that when we get to heaven, it's just going to be, we're just going to all be spirits. And heaven is this spiritual place, and it's just a spiritual thing. What do we need bodies for anyway? Okay, well, sure. But let me just tell you what you did, honey. You just denied the resurrection when you said that. And I've heard people, again, people that you would have confidence in say stuff like that. Say, yeah, you know, it's just all this is all spiritual. And why do we need bodies for in heaven anyway? Fine. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it, man. Knock yourself out. But you just denied the resurrection. And in my opinion, the resurrection is a cardinal doctrine. Me and you can disagree about the coming of the Lord. You know, we talked about eschatology and prophecy and all of that stuff, and some of my views are very, very different. And you know what? We can disagree on some of that stuff, and we'll be fine. We can disagree. You know, we've talked, remember we spent one night and we talked about predestination. And when we get into Romans chapter 9, it's going, boom, it's going to hit us right in the face again. You can differ on that kind of stuff and fine. But when it comes to the resurrection, folks, I'm sorry. We're talking a cardinal doctrine here. That's something that you cannot, that is an essential part of the doctrine of Christianity. If you take away the resurrection, you're undermining the whole Christian faith. So I do believe Romans 8 and 11 is speaking very strongly of a future physical, bodily resurrection of the dead. Amen. Let's all stand tonight.